Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Oh man, how you guys doing? You guys doing good? Good. So you guys are doing good over here. A little quiet over there. I get it. It's all right. It's a Wednesday night. It's December. It's cold outside. I love this time of year, though. It's nice, right? It's nice to be able to not burn up, for one, right? And Christmas season, I know it's hard for some people, but it is very enjoyable as well. It can be so. If you don't have a close family, you have a church family here. And if you don't know anybody, introduce yourself. Be bold tonight, right? And get involved. And man, you guys can definitely go to Man Cave. So how many of you guys are planning on going this week? Yeah? Sweet. All right, you made that commitment to God, not to me. All right, let's get into it tonight. We're going to think a little bit tonight. And the way I see it, Wednesday night is the hardcore crowd, right? You guys are here because you don't want to mess around. You guys want to learn, right? You guys want to get into Scripture, and we want to go somewhere. Now, in 30 minutes, it's impossible to give an exhaustive teaching on every single subject, and so my hopes and my prayers are that when I speak and we come together, that it would put a fire, set a fire inside of each and every one of us, that we would go back and we would read it ourselves. We'd read the Scriptures ourselves. We'd pray about it. And this would be a springboard to further our relationship with God through Scripture and through prayer and through just simple devotion to Him, right? So when we get together and talk, tonight I'm going to say some things that might get your wills turning. I'm going to say some things that you might not really fully agree with at first. You might have to think it through, and you might not ever agree with it. I don't know. And I'm not trying to get you to agree with me and what I believe the Scripture is saying. What I'm trying to do more than anything is put a fire in you to get involved with God in your life, because that is going to change things for you, right? Listening, hearing, learning, all these things are good, but it's not going to do anything until you put it in practice, right? It's like the difference between going to the batting cages and playing a game of baseball or softball, right? Like, there's a big difference between actually playing in the game and practicing. So we're practicing tonight, and that's important, right? But as we leave here, we're going to get into the game and we're going to play. Does that make sense? So let's pray. Let's ask God to challenge us tonight. Let's ask God to break down anything that needs to be broken down inside of us. And let's ask God to rebuild the things that need to be rebuilt inside of us. And let's ask God for faith and favor. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that if there's anything in our lives, God, that is keeping us from fully surrendering to you, I pray, Father, you would let us acknowledge that thing, whatever it is, and let us let go right now in Jesus' name. Let us let go of it. And Lord, I pray, God, right now that your Spirit would replace the void, Lord. The things that we hold on to, I pray that your Spirit would replace that thing, Lord. And I pray that you'd speak to us and show us what you want to show us tonight. We love you, God. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the title for tonight, and I started in one spot. I always have like a general idea of where I'm headed when I'm going to teach, and to be honest, I didn't realize I was teaching tonight till yesterday, but I had been thinking about it because I'm always teaching, and so the thing that's been on my mind lately is salvation and what it actually means. And so tonight, the title is The Context of Salvation. So that's what we're going to be talking about, okay? So we're going to start, we're going to have a lot of scriptures. I'm going to move fast. If you guys ever need... this is on video. You can go back to vbf.org and you can watch this on video. You can catch all the scriptures there. So that's, I was trying to think of a way that I could get you these scriptures. I hand wrote my notes. I can't just hand them out to you, but yeah, that'll be good. You can go back and watch it on video. So we're going to start in the book of Romans. How many of you guys have heard something called the Romans Road? So, okay, not many of you. Sweet. All right. So there's this thing that we used to be taught, and I think it's still taught somewhere. Maybe you can find it online. Maybe, I'm sure you can. If you Google the Romans Road, you'll find these scriptures in Romans that are taken to explain salvation. And so I'm going to go through a brief example of the Romans Road. It's not the entire thing, so if you're technical, I'm sorry, you can Google it, you can find the rest of the verses, but I'm going to give you the gist of it real quickly, okay? So we're going to go through that, and then we're going to talk about that, okay? So Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is where we're going to start. 3:23. Let's see here. I'm going to turn. Okay, so Romans 3:23 says this. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Okay? Do you guys agree with that? It's true. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The next verse is Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." So all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Romans 10:9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Now, those three verses do explain salvation and how to become saved, how to become a Christian. You can use that, but I'm gonna critique this this idea here for a second. Okay, before you get excited about it, I'm gonna critique it for a second. Now, are those verses true? Yes, 100% scripture. Yes, it's true. Are those verses? If you put those verses together, are they true? Yes, it is. It's a complete thought. It makes sense. You've sinned. You've fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but if you confess with Jesus that Jesus is Lord, you're good, right? So like that is salvation, but I have a problem with that approach because it seems like you're just not selling the entire thing here, right? It seems like you're missing a part of it, and we're starting off with really bad news. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to somebody about what it means to be a Christian, and if they were to just follow this and that's it, it would go something like this, like, "Hey, you're really bad. You're a bad person, and you deserve to go to hell. But you want to come to church and talk more about how to become a Christian, right?" Like that approach just seems a little off to me. Now, I'm not saying that this is wrong. This is true. This is right. But I think that there's a context that we miss when we talk about what it means to be a Christian. And that context is really, really important, right? So that's what we're going to talk about here in a moment. I'm going to tell you what that context is. But first, let's look at, so the book of Romans, by the way, is an amazing book. I think if we took like a couple of verses from Romans and acted like that was the entire book of Romans, Paul would be pretty upset at us. He'd be like, "Listen, I wrote an entire book here, and there's a lot in it. So go ahead and read from chapter 1 all the way through," right? He would want us to understand every argument, and it's a very deep book. And maybe we'll do a study in it one of these days. I'm actually going to go back and look at a lot of the stuff that's written in Romans. Very interesting stuff written by Paul. Now, Paul, we can find out what Paul did and how he did it in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts was not written by Paul. It was written by Luke, right? But in the book of Acts, we find out what Paul did. And Paul went on different missionary journeys. And on his missionary journeys, he spread the gospel to different churches, right? And then later on, he wrote the epistles, these letters. I know this is review for a lot of you guys, but I've just been thinking about it lately, and I've been thinking, I take a lot of this stuff for granted because I've known it for a long time, but some people are new to the faith. So is that okay? We go through this a little bit? Okay, so Paul, on these missionary journeys, his whole goal was to spread the gospel. And the word gospel, again, if you're new, basically means good news. So Paul found out that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, and that salvation was through him, right? If he wanted to be good with God and connect with God and walk with God, then Jesus was the way to do that. And Jesus met him and spoke to him clearly. And Paul had to go through a long journey and a process to really understand this. And so after he understood what the gospel was, he started spreading it around to different churches. So I want you to turn real quickly to Acts chapter 17, where we have Paul giving the gospel to a certain group of people who did not know anything about Jesus. They didn't know anything about who he was. And so this is a really pure version of the gospel, and I really like this. So Acts 17, chapter 17, verse 22. There's a little backstory here. Paul, he was on his second missionary journey with Silas, and what they would do is they would walk into a synagogue. They were Jewish they were Jewish people, and so their culture was the Jewish culture. So they would walk into the Jewish church, the church that was their culture. They would walk in and they would talk about Jesus, right? And sometimes it didn't go very well. In fact, often it didn't go very well. In fact, there were a lot of Jewish people who fully rejected Jesus. They knew about him, and they had rejected him at this point. And in the scripture that I'm about to read, Paul and Silas, they're on the run right now. They're being chased by these Jewish people at the church in Thessalonica. They're being chased from city to city. These guys hated them so much that they chased them and tried to cause a ruckus wherever they were and saying that they were false prophets because they were teaching Jesus, right? And so Paul is sent from Berea down to Athens, pretty far away. It says that the brethren, it was this group of the original church, they were helping Paul and by moving him to a safe place. Every time he would be pursued by these haters, right? Paul, they would take him and they would hide him, and they had to take him further and further and further away. So they took him down to this place in Athens, and Paul again, as he's in Athens. He wasn't like choosing to go to Athens. He was taken there. He looks around. He finds a synagogue. He starts doing his thing again. He goes in and starts preaching to these people. But then he also gets out of the synagogue in Athens, and he starts speaking in the marketplace. And he starts talking to people who are not Jews, who are people who don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know anything about him. And so that's the context of this scripture right here. So verse 22 says, now Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, which is, this is the hill of Ares, the god of war. So there's all these shrines and all these idols and all these different Greek gods, these Athenian gods that are there. And this is where Paul is speaking to these people. He says, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from us, from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist. And as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. So Paul is basically speaking to these people, and he's telling them about who God is. And he's saying that everything that is created was created by God, and God is accessible. Now, they were in a place where there were these idols, and these idols were made by men, and there's probably a lot of confusion in this place. All these different types of gods. The god of Eris, the god of war, was represented there, and he was a violent god, and he had this ability to speak to the dead. And so they kind of took a all is good approach, right? It was kind of, in a lot of ways, similar to our society today. It was like, to each his own. Whatever you want to believe, that's cool. That's fine. And Paul was coming in, and he was giving some good news and saying, listen, I'm going to take all the confusion away from you guys right now, and I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to simplify it by letting you know that there is one God, and he is all-powerful, and he's all-knowing, and everything that is good, everything that is amazing, everything that exists is from him, and he's accessible to you, right? And verse 29 says, being then the offspring, and not only is he accessible to you, we are offspring of this God. He created us. We are his children, right? And Paul, what I love about this passage and this whole idea of him speaking to these foreigners is that he's treating them as if they are actually supposed to believe in God. He's treating them as family. And I love this because I don't know that we do the best job in the church of treating others that are outsiders, so to speak, as family. But what if we did? What if we spoke to the people at our that just came over for Thanksgiving that don't know God or don't like what we stand for? What if we started treating them as family, whether they believe it or not, right? Like, they're like, I don't believe in God. Well, hey, brother, God believes in you, right? Like, what if we started really treating them as though they are descendants of God? What would that do to their psyche? And so Paul is explaining that we are his offspring. Verse 29 says, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere, should repent. So he doesn't get to the repentance part until he explains how good God is, until he explains how close God is, until he explains that God is for them. Then he says, okay, then repent. Okay, God is good. He loves you. You have an opportunity to walk with him. You have an opportunity to speak to him. You have an opportunity to have a relationship with this God as your heavenly Father. Therefore, repent. Therefore, stop wasting your time on other things. Therefore, stop focusing on things that aren't leading you to the right places in life. Therefore, right? Like God is good, therefore. Good news first. Jesus, I spoke the other day on a Sunday. We were talking about the kingdom of God. I said, Jesus came out speaking the good news first. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God himself is at hand. Therefore, repent. Right? So Paul gets to the point where he's talking about repentance. Verse 31, he says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. So Paul's getting to the nitty-gritty. He's saying, you know what? Like, there's a resurrection. Jesus, God, through Jesus, is going to resurrect the dead. And some people are laughing at this point. They're making fun. But it says here, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So here's the context, okay, that I wanted to talk to you guys about. Some people have a longing inside of them for God. Some of us have we know that we were made for something bigger. We know that we were made to be in connection to the God of the universe. Like, some of us know that. Some of us might not know that, but some of us do know that. And that right there is the context to salvation, right? We're going to continue on. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Some of us, our heart has been stirred because God has stirred it, right? And that's a timing thing. I don't know why God reveals himself to some of us at different times than he does others. But I just know some of you out there are sitting there and you're here tonight because you know that the God of the universe has called you by name. You know that he has something bigger and he has something better for you. You know that there's more, right? And that's why you're here tonight. Now, I want to look, let's see here. I didn't have this verse in here, guys. Sorry. But I want to look real quick at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, this is a different, this is about a guy named Noah. Now, Noah lived at the very beginning of the Bible times, right? And Noah had a different deal. Now, Noah didn't know Jesus, okay? He wasn't saved by the blood of Jesus. He had a different deal with God. All throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, there are different covenants. There are different promises. God makes different deals with different people throughout generations. Now, our deal is with Jesus. We're under that covenant, right? But back then, it was a different time and a different deal. Does that make sense? So if you want to learn more about covenants, look up covenants, biblical covenants, and you can learn all about that, right? But during Noah's time, things got really bad. As a matter of fact, it says in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So it wasn't just bad. It was really, really bad. And so God chose to basically wipe the slate clean and start over. But he found this guy named Noah who he was going to save. And so we have a salvation story here. We have one of the first salvation stories in the Bible. God choosing to save one man and his family from the destruction that was caused by the other people. God had to do this. He had to wipe the slate clean. Now, why it had to happen like that, that's a whole different thing, right? But Noah, it says in verse 9, it says, "These are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time." And then it says right here, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. That right there is huge. The question that I would have for you, and the question that you would have for the people in your family, the question that we should all have for each other is, do you want to walk with God? Now, we're going to get to that in a moment, all right? So I came up with three steps in resulting in salvation. Now, it's not exhaustive. Again, it's a Wednesday night. I only have another 10, 15 minutes. We can't get really deep. But I'm kind of a simple guy. I prefer In-N-Out, right? I like their menu because it's just simple, right? It's like cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, triple cheeseburger. Okay, cool. Like that's my style. So I like to simplify things. I don't want to oversimplify it, but honestly, when it comes down to it, this stuff is fairly simple, and it should be because children should be able to understand it, right? But then the wisest adults still have struggle with like adhering to it, right? There's a difference between understanding and getting it and actually following it. And so when we talk about these things, our focus shouldn't be on just getting it and agreeing with it and nodding. And I appreciate the amens and stuff, but like that's you know, our goal should be to actually live it. Okay? So I'm going to go through three simple things, but let's think of them in terms of actually living these things. The first thing that we should do is we should acknowledge who God is, okay? So I've used the scripture 1,000 times if I've used it once, but Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." Acknowledging God will actually make your path straight. Why is that? Because God's going in a straight line. God is going exactly where you should be going. And if you acknowledge him, right, that is the first step to being in line with him. And so acknowledgement is huge. Some people get stuck there. I'm going to assume that most of you are there. You acknowledge God. We acknowledge God, right? You get it. But how many of us know people in our lives, our family, friends, acquaintances, people we work with? How many of us know people that haven't even got to this step? They haven't acknowledged who God is. They don't want to think about it. You start talking about it, and they're like, yeah, I don't need that. They literally don't want to even talk about it, because in talking about it, they might accidentally believe, right? So acknowledgement is the first step, but it is not the final step. It's the first step. The second step is choosing, after acknowledging who God is choosing to walk with him. How many of you guys wish to walk with God? Okay? How many people get stuck there? Like, they acknowledge God. They get it. Oh, I believe. Yeah, I understand. I get it. I acknowledge him. I understand who he is. I'm not even talking about Jesus at this point. Okay, I haven't got there. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Like, the God. Like, so some people acknowledge who he is, but do I want to walk with him? I don't know. I don't think he would want to walk with me. You know what I mean? Like we have this attitude of he doesn't really know me that well. Well, let me tell you this. God does know you really well, right? You think your TV's spying on you, right? God knows more than that. Right? God knows more than your TV or your smart device. I don't understand why people have this stuff listened to them in their homes. Anyway, moving on. So the first thing is acknowledgement of who he is, right? The second thing is choosing to walk with him. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one. That is good, right? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. So acknowledgement, I already said that. Let's move on to the next one. Let's go to Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is one of the most powerful Old Testament scriptures. But the idea is that when you're walking with God and you understand what it means to walk with God, that you're fearless because you understand that God is with you. That even when you're in a dark place, or even when you're in a difficult place, even when you're in a confusing place, you're going to be okay because your God is really big. Like the biggest. And he's going to take care of you along the way. Right? As Christians, and I've said this 100 times, 1,000 times, I don't know, we should be the most fearless people on the planet. We just should. Because we have a God who will be with us. He may allow us to go through difficult times. He might even let you die. In fact, you're gonna, right? You're going to. Your earthly body anyway, right? But even through that, you will live because you will be taken to heaven. So, like, even death shouldn't scare us. And what other things do scare us? Maybe rejection? Oh, come on, right? What are the other things that scare us? Oh, I'm not going to have any money. Oh, you don't think God can take care of that? I'm not going to get the right Christmas present. My kid's going to hate me. You know what? Your kid's going to hate you if you worry too much about getting them the right Christmas present. Don't spend time with them, right? Spend time with your family. Anyway, that's a whole different thing. I'm getting off base. So the first one is acknowledgement. Second thing is choosing to walk with him. And then even at that point, you still haven't become a Christian, because a Christian is somebody who believes and confesses Jesus. So that's the third thing, is confessing and believing, which means commitment, okay? It means fully committing to the Lordship of Christ. Now, I'm going to go back to these scriptures in Romans that I kind of started off with, and we're going to read them in a better context, okay? And then I'm going to end. But Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21 says this, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now that's different than just using that part of the verse in 23. It's just part of a sentence of all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The context there is that, yes, you've fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned. You are imperfect. But the free gift of God is grace. The free gift of God is salvation. That, yes, we are separated from God. We cannot walk with God if we acknowledge him. We cannot walk with him without accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? But if you do, that is the bridge to be able to be connected with God, to be able to walk with God just like Noah did, right? And that does lead to salvation. We're gonna read Romans 10 here in a second. But that does lead to salvation, but it also will lead you to many different types of salvation throughout your life. God might save you from an illness. God might save you from a car wreck. God might save you from a disastrous marriage. God might save you from floods and fire. Who knows? Like, well, I have no idea what kind of perils and dangers that are ahead of you. And if you knew, right? If we all knew what dangers were ahead of us, we probably wouldn't get out of bed. We'd be so scared, right? I think of the Old Testament story where God leads Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? And he's leading them all out of Egypt. They're running, Pharaoh's on their tail, and they get to an ocean, and they're stuck, right? They're stuck. There's nowhere to go. They turn around, and they're like, you really? You let us out here just to die? And then all of a sudden, God parts the sea. He pulls back the water, a place that would be uninhabitable, a place that would be very dangerous. God parts it so that people can walk through the sea. And I think about that, and I think about our lives, and I think, what dangers is God holding back from us? What are the things that he's protecting us from on a daily basis when we walk with him? So many things, right? There's so many benefits. But the point isn't the benefits, even. The point is just getting to know this God who wants to be with us. Right? He actually wants to have a relationship with you. When he sent his son Jesus down on this earth, he told Jesus to give us a message, and that message was, please call me dad. Call me dad. When Jesus teaches us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Our Father, that's what he wants. He wants to be your dad. Romans 10, 8. We're going to end with this scripture. Romans 10, 8 says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Let me say that again. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. If someone came and took all of our Bibles and burned them, we'd be all right, because the word is near us, in our mouth and in our heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? For with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Right? But this idea of confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart has everything to do with commitment and committing to him as Lord and realizing that he is the bridge. He is the way. That because he died on the cross and took all of our sins, he took all of the punishment that would be ours for not being bad people, but for being imperfect people. I mean, you could be the best person in the world. You know, you could raise the most money for charities. You could do the most good in this world, right? But you would still fall short because you would be imperfect. God requires perfection to be with him because he is perfect. God lives in Perfectville. He lives in perfect land. And he requires of us to be perfect as he is perfect, to have a communion with him. Do you understand that? That's what God requires, and the only way for us to have that is through what Jesus did for us. He took on all of the sins of every single one of us so that we could be connected with him. It's one of the great mysteries, but it's also one of the, it is not one of the, it is the number one blessing in life that we can actually walk with God and be with him forever and ever because of what Jesus did. So, does that make sense, the context? So I wanted to just get into the context of salvation, that the context behind it is you have an opportunity to walk with God. You have an opportunity to be with him on the daily, right? You have an opportunity to be clean, no matter what you did, right? How many of you guys feel bad after last week? Maybe you do, I don't know. How many of us are carrying the rocks of guilt from things that we did years ago? Right? How many of us are carrying the burdens of things that God has taken, that Jesus took from us, right? We are all, if we confess him as Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, which is resurrection, which means that he can take us and raise us from the dead as well. If we've done those things, then everything is washed clean and clear. We are good with God. 100%, not based on what we've done, but based on what Jesus did, right? Now, a lot of you know this. A lot of you guys are there. I get it. I know that I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. But part of this message was to clear up what salvation actually is and the context of it so that we can go out and we can have better conversations with the people in our lives, right? Our conversation with our coworkers shouldn't be, hey, you're really messed up. You want to come to church? I mean, you can get to that point. You can talk about that. And if they're starting that conversation, great. You know, you can meet them there. Meet them wherever they are. But instead, say, hey, you want to come to church? There's something there you might like. And if you don't, that's cool. You just never know. You never know what God's doing in people's hearts. And if you're praying for the people, then maybe God will put it on your heart when to talk to them and how to talk to them. And when to invite them, right? So this message is for us to take and to go further with. Does that make sense? All right, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to have the leaders come up front. And if any of you guys, in talking about what it means to actually be a Christian, some of you guys might have thought, man, I need to make sure that I have given my life over to God through Jesus. I need to make sure that I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I need to make sure I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. If that's you, okay, and you want some assistance, you want some help, you want a pat on the back and some prayer, these people are here to pray for you. They do this for God as their ministry to help you with that. So if that's you, I'm going to pray for the church. Afterwards, I want you to come right up here and get prayer, okay? You don't have to do this. This is not a requirement. The only requirement is that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Those are the requirements. You can do that at home. My dad has his testimony where he gave his life completely over to Jesus in his bathroom. And you can do that, okay? Tonight, if you go home and you're just feeling like you need to do that in your bathroom, living room, probably not the middle of the street, but somewhere safe, handle it, okay? But if you want assistance and you want to be prayed over, that is going to help you a lot. And I'm going to just encourage you to do that tonight if that's you. Anyway, the rest of us, let's pray. Father, I pray for every single person in this church that we would all of us and all of our family members and the people we know would come to know you and who you are through the truth of the cross. Through the power of the cross, through the amazing grace that you have offered to each and every single one of us. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd give us a fire and give us a responsibility, but also just a heart for the people around us, a heart for the people in our schools, in our workplaces, the people that maybe are our neighbors. God, give us the ability to talk to them. I pray that you would stir their hearts and stir our hearts at the same time and coordinate these conversations, Lord, so that people can know who you are. Because, Lord, you know how much we all need you. And I just pray, God, that that would happen. I pray for revival in this church in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, if anybody's here that is doubtful, they don't know if they have fully given their life over, I pray that they would do that tonight without delay. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Church, I love you guys. Amen. I will see you soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.